3. Dan?
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that was introduced at the request of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, and it's necessary to execute a portion of the Public Utility Commissioner's budget. If you recall, there was $106,000 taken out of the Public Utility Commissioner's budget in 3 FTE positions that were related to a change in the method of doing business insofar as insurance is concerned. Currently, a carrier has to indicate or certify that he has insurance, and then the law requires within 30 days of the time of that certification that either he or his insurer file a copy of the policy with the Public Utility Commissioner. Then they have staff over there that take all of these filings, file them, put them in a file drawer, and then they go out at the time that the auditor goes out. All of that can be short-circuited if you eliminate the requirement of having them post a copy of the insurance policy. The theory is that once the guy certifies it under sanctions of fairly heavy penalties, if he does not have insurance, he's going to be long gone within 30 days. So you're not doing anything other than helping an auditing team package up a bunch of materials. There's a better way of doing it, and that's what the Public Utility Commissioner proposes to do. This bill eliminates the requirement that after certifying that he has insurance, he files that copy. They won't get it. They won't need to file it. You can get rid of 3 file clerks and $106,000. The budget that went out already assumed passage of this bill.
Okay.
If I thought we'd already passed it out, I remember.
Yeah, it was the bill for introduction. I thought we had to.
We got it introduced and kind of slipped through our fingers.
We're ready to pass it out?
No.
I'm running fingers through my head over and over.
Are they getting lower as they run through?
I don't know. I got too much money in my balance. I don't know what to do with it.
Don't ever say that down here.
We're going to move on Senate Bill 943, Danny.
Yeah, all right.
This is one that we talked about during the budget on PUC. And we asked to have it introduced. We got it introduced. We forgot to get it sent to the committee and act on it. But the budget was drafted on passage of this bill. Gene promised if we would get it up and get it through and not ask him to speak on it, that he would go back to work this afternoon. And so we're trying to do that as quickly as possible.
Well, don't let me bother. I don't even have it.
I'll tell you what. There you go.
Tell him quickly, Dan, what it does again.
If you recall, $106,000 in 3 positions that were taken out of the Public Utility Commissioner anticipated passage of this bill. It's a more efficient way of handling insurance.
Yep. Right. Fine.
We're back. Well, it's passed now. Okay. Who wants to move it then? Anybody?
There you go.
Senator Potts moves Senate Bill 943 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? Any opposition to the motion? Motion passes. Now, Gene, if you end up at the golf course before 5, now we can get to work. What do we have here?
Mr. Chairman, you have the copies before you of the budget report on the Workers' Compensation Department, the Workers' Compensation Board. You ask these to be sent back to the committee for your review. It would be my suggestion that if you do approve it today, that you pass it out of subcommittee but place it in the hands of the subcommittee chairman to release it to full committee when he has, after he's had conferences with conferees that I think he wishes to talk to before it's released.
You said he. I don't know if that means both the he's or one of them.
On each side of the house.
On each side.
Each side of the
what about 651?
That'll be next, Mr. Chairman.
That'll be next. Okay.
All right. So you have here the workers' compensation budget. You'll notice it's broken down into 2 portions, the board and hearing program, the department total. And you'll notice the bottom lower right-hand figure, you've increased the over and above the governor's recommended budget by $77,962, which shouldn't be too large that they'll have to increase the premium tax to the carrier. So I think it's on the second page.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, what about all the savings they're making now? Is that going to...
They should be able to continue those savings.
Okay. Want that on the record. Go ahead.
Okay. On the second page, Mr. Chairman, you have the position situation. You'll notice that the board is getting 7 new positions, and the department is getting 16 new positions. That's a total of 23 positions between the two programs. You should realize there's no general fund money, that the revenues are derived from employee contributions. I think you're all informed on how the revenues worked as far as workers' compensation activity are concerned. Now, the bottom part there and the next page are all items that I had on the worksheets that I gave to you previously, where you're going to allow larger facilities, reclassification of the hearings division referees, and the increase in quality and quantity of the board members' adjudication of claims. That's on the board. Then you approve the governor's recommended budget, which provides for 3 positions. I want to be sure that we're all clear on this one. Brackets there, 1.75 full-time equivalent positions requested in the governor's budget as pro tem hearing referees. This is the way it is in the budget. They call them pro tem. You'll notice when we get to the legislation in Senate Bill 651 and my comments beyond this that I never use the word pro tem again. I feel it's a kind of a bad word. It has connotations that I don't think you want to have. So I'm suggesting and you approved it the other day, that the subcommittee gave the board the option to use these positions for additional permanent referees, and then I said pro tem referees, or hire temporary referees through personal service contracts. This gives them a lot of latitude, and the board would have the authority to get the job done in the manner in which they think that they can do it at a lesser cost, if you will. Now, the subcommittee did approve a lump sum reduction of $200,000 from the governor's revised recommended budget. The thought being they may not be able to get all of these new activities started right away, and also to put a little string around their neck to be cost conscious rather than just going out and blowing money. In reviewing this appropriations bill, the subcommittee also reviewed Senate Bill 651 and took the following action. 1, when a vacancy occurs in the Workers' Compensation Board, the remaining board members of the board, with the approval of the governor, may appoint an individual to serve on the board temporarily until such time as the appointment of an individual to the board by the governor has been confirmed by the Senate. Any individual appointed by the board must have qualifications such as that composition of the board complies with ORS 656712-1. This means a political party and labor, industry, or public member, these types of things. So that if a vacant position is there because a labor person has terminated his position on the board, then a labor representative would have to be appointed. If there are 2 Democrats on it, has to be the appointee would have to be a Republican, et cetera, et cetera. So I think they're going by all of the rules. Okay, the subcommittee recommended that the board be authorized to employ referees on a temporary basis and included provisions to appropriate $141,176 for 2 temporary positions. Now, these are the hearings referees. There would be a secretary position, and we'll speak towards that in the budget report when we do that one. Okay, Mr. Chairman, on the board, we go into the department. First of all, you did a lump sum reduction of $600,000. You'll recall this was on the basis that we took $500,000 from them last time. They're still going to revert probably $500,000 this time, and they're still able to expend an additional $250,000 for capital that was in the 81-83 budget during the current biennium. So the subcommittee also approved the 2 reclassification packages that are not in the current budget. And then what we did beyond that was take each of the divisions to say where the new employees are going, what they're going to be doing. And this, remember, that was on the worksheet that we went through the other day, and we talked about positions and full-time positions. The last item is capital improvement, and that's where we deleted from the 81-83 budget $251,000 because they have enough expenditure limitation in 79-81 to make those capital purchases. So that made some savings in 81-83. Do you have any questions, or I can go through the other one and then you can do what you will, what action you want to take.
It'd be my intent, after we pass this out, or if we pass it out, to check with the Senate and House Chairman of Labor and make sure they're satisfied with the budget report, along with 651, before we finally sign it. But I don't expect any problem, but just make sure. Don't want to look like we're doing an end run on some other committee.
Okay. Senate Bill 651. There's the budget report on it. And this is a very simple one. We're authorizing, in addition to what the governor is recommending, $141,176. It will provide for three positions, two referees and one secretary on a temporary basis when it is necessary to meet workload demands. This would be primarily for the board to work on the backlog. I think they're just about as working as hard over there as they can right now, but this will give some additional pressure to make certain that everybody is getting hearings as fast as they wish them. Now, Mr. Chairman, in regards to Senate Bill 651, these are the amendments as I understood them from the committee that you wanted the other day. And I think you need to look at starting on line 13, the new language. As I understood your discussion, that this could meet the requirements of everybody concerned, that they have to meet the bar membership requirements and their temporary employees. Then you have a new section 4, Mr. Chairman, starting on line 22. And this is when a vacancy occurs on the Workers' Compensation Board, the remaining members of the board. Now, we put remaining members in because there are bills to increase the board, rather than say the two remaining members. Just the remaining members of the board, with the approval of the governor, may appoint an individual to serve on the board temporarily until such time as the appointment of an individual to the board by the governor has been confirmed by the Senate. Any individual appointed by the board pursuant to this section must have the qualifications such as that composition of the board complies with ORS. Now, that's the same language that's in the budget report, so that I don't think you want to hide anything. You want to have everything right out on the table. So I put it in the budget report with the language that's in this bill. Good. Then in section 6, Mr. Chairman, that's where you give them the additional dollars for the hearings referee. There is one change that has to be made to the amendments, and that is down there where it says Section 4, that should be Section 2. Because you only want the money used for hearings referees, not for a temporary appointment of a board member, because that the permanent board member's dollars could be used to hire the temporary board member.
Now let me check now. If that board member is off because of a sickness or something, they're still on the payroll too. So it would require extra dollars in that case. Is there something to cover that, Kendall?
As the amendment's drafted, Mr. Chairman, it would only come into play when a vacancy occurs on the board. If we had a long-term sickness situation, this would not help us out there, but I guess you can't deal with every contingency at once, and this contingency here is the one that hurt us last year.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
It'd be my interpretation that they are on sick leave, that they couldn't fill the position. As long as they could not.
Because they were being paid too. In other
words, that's right.
It implies simply because the salary is going for that person that they couldn't fill them.
Well, no vacancy would have occurred.
No vacancy, right.
That's right. There has to be a vacancy on the board.
So, Mr. Chairman, it would be my suggestion, if you see fit to approve these three items, that they be approved but be held by the chairman for release to the full committee when you're...
Just a quick question.
Yes, go ahead.
Bill, did you say under Section 5 that should be Section 2 instead of 4?
Down on line 12.
Down on line 12, where it says Section 4.
Oh.
That should be Section 2. I think I've already corrected it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I sometimes a copy gets away from me.
I'd move to that.
Senator Roberts moves the amendments to Senate Bill 651. Are you satisfied with these, Kendall? These meet what we talked to the Senate Labor Chairman? And
as I understood the conversation, yeah. Mr. Chairman, yes, I think this is satisfactory.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay. The amendments are adopted. Senator Roberts moves A. Engrossed, amended Senate Bill 651 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Now, subject to your release.
Yes, I'd like to have them both go at the same time, so it'll be a timing thing.
The other one.
The other one. See, there's no general fund in the other budget either, though, is there? So they should go. They should both go. Any discussion on that motion? Any opposition to the motion? So pass. Good enough.
How about House Bill 5023?
I guess we should do that at the same time, shouldn't we?
If you're making motions, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to.
Senator Hansen moves.
No, that was under the Aitkison.
Okay, Senator Potts moves House Bill 5023. And that is a problem because it's a House bill, too.
I know.
I never even thought about that.
Mr. Chairman, get it through full, and then I have a suggestion that you may let the Senate bill pass the Senate and then let it both go to the House at the same time.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay, Senator Potts moves House Bill 5023. Did we amend that? As amended?
Yes.
As amended. To the full committee, do pass recommendation. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, any opposition to the motion? Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Short meeting. Thank you. Not as far as we wanted to go, but a step, anyway.
Nice step.
Sure. Meeting's adjourned. Oh, wait a minute. What do we got to do here?
I got highway division.
They're not getting paid, are they?
I wondered why they were sitting here on workers' comp. See, how many bills do we have up today? Okay. I guess it was 9:43 that that'd be. This is just the bill that we had put in the other day.
Mm-hmm. As soon as we get that back, we can process it.
Sands train, Sands.
Nine for captain. So.
Okay. Almost had you over here for nothing to say. Okay.
Wow, scared me to death. I can only imagine what those guys felt like.
They were going to go out and play golf. No.
Okay, a couple things. You want to take up that park budget note first, Parks Division, that you talked to Senator Feely about?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Plus another thing that we'd do.
She wants to do that, so I have the river to mess.
She wants to do that and talk again?
No.
A copy of the amendment. Would you send a copy of that budget note to Representative Yee?
I'd be glad to. I delivered my...
she asked me 3 or 4 times.
My message.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, this is kind of a similar thing that relates to a little project of the Senate co-chair. Senate Bill 658, as it was introduced, carried this instruction to the Parks Division, which is to include the Oregon State Museum of Natural History as part of its capital construction request until the thing is built, starting with 83-85. And then it also, well, it said to include it, and then it appropriated monies. Well, kind of a short of appropriations of general fund money this session. The senator said, well, let's just amend that bill to carry this language. I suggested that, why not, if you're just going to instruct them to do something, put it in the budget report. And he thought that would be preferable to Senate Bill 658. That's what this does.
If you recall, during the special session, or not the special session, E-Board, that we got into this issue during the last interim, was it not, that we, or was it during the special session?
I think it was during the special session.
Confusing the time now. Yes. And so this is just a continuation, really, of the goals.
Well, this just says, look, keep trying, and someday it'll get built, because at one time the monies were there for that purpose.
If we don't do anything else for the Senate co-chairman of Ways and Means, I guess this can be it.
That's what we've been thinking for years.
I know.
Related
he doesn't,
though. Crumb.
Crumb.
Crumb amendment.
Crumb amendment. Well, I wanted to make sure the subcommittee saw it and everything and talked about it before we did it. Okay. Any, see what it does. It doesn't really do much. He's satisfied with that, though. Okay. Well, the amendment then, the amended budget note to the parks budget.
I'll just incorporate that one. Okay. That will be going out in an amended fashion anyway to reflect the 10% reduction. We'll just attach this to the back of it.
Okay. So
I'm not going to
adjourn yet. No, we're still going to do highway. We've been trying to do this all session.
Guess when the last time we heard this budget was?
February.
February 10th. What I've prepared for you is just a little summary to kind of bring you up to date and suggest a few changes in the in the governor's budget. Most of these I've worked through with the agency, so I think they're in agreement with. In the governor's budget, projected at the time that the budget was prepared, there was a beginning balance of $21.4 million. Since that time, several things have happened to change what the beginning balance will be. If you recall, those of you who were on the emergency board, $15 million in bonds were authorized and have been sold. That's an additional amount of money that will be available coming into the 81-83 biennium. There has been some deferred construction projects, and that's more or less a technical adjustment, just sliding things that weren't being paid for because they weren't being built in 81-83 or in 79-81 into the 81-83 biennium. And finally, they have experienced some maintenance costs in addition to what was projected last July or so when they put their budget together. So the net effect of all of those changes is that there's an additional $27.6 million available to begin the 81-83 biennium. Now, coupled with revenues, there are also some adjustments in revenues. Projected at the time the budget was developed, $809 million. Then some cooperative funds, and these are primarily related to the construction of Rocky Butte Jail. That jail will not be constructed as early as anticipated, hence they won't be reimbursed as early as anticipated. So $12.5 million will be received in 83-85 rather than in 81-83, less revenue. Road user fees, and this is the, we were using $8 million at the time, but it's $7.8 million. And road user fees, this is the weight mile and highway taxes, primarily highway or gasoline taxes on automobiles, that a more recent projection indicates. In other words, there would be $7.8 million less than projected last July when the budget was prepared. Federal money is available. The most recent indication is down $3.5 million. On the other side of the ledger, interest earnings are up appreciably. I think the agency, when it put its budget together, anticipated interest earnings between 8 and 9%. Currently, they're ranging nearly double that amount. And so they will earn more money on their highway fund than projected. That will yield an additional $8.1 million. than the reduced agency budgets. This is a cumulative effect of all the actions that you've taken to date. Maybe I ought to run through that. You reduced central services by $672,000, motor vehicles by $2.4 million, public utility commissioner $4.6 million, and the general services assessment, Darrell Rawls assessment going to the highway division $222,000. All of those totaled up equals considerably more than $5.7 million. However, the cities and counties participate in the savings, if you will, for the largest two portions of that. The motor vehicles division, you cut a dollar out of motor vehicles division, a little over 32 cents goes to the cities and counties. Same thing with the public utility commissioner. Cut a dollar out of there, 32.24 cents goes to cities and counties. That's why it's $5.7 million. Anyway, that's as a result of the cumulative actions on all those other budgets, you've got an additional $5.7 million to spend for highway division purposes. You take the $799 and the $49 million in total together, that's the amount available for expenditure. Now, for expenditures, some adjustments. The governor's budget, $805 million, we're saying start with that. Then, because of the Reagan budget principally, there's going to be a slowdown in the availability of monies for federal construction projects. That's deferred $17 million. And then the savings, if you will, that we've made in the other budgeting areas, coupled with the interest earnings, the additional monies that you have available, be plugged back into some areas of the budget. What we're recommending are two major items. The agency's decision packages are set out in a slightly different way. Their first order of priority would be additional workload for maintenance, the addition of 8.76 FTE. We're generally opposed to adding any positions to the agency because, in our view, it's much larger than the revenue base will afford already. So we're recommending their second decision package, which is a equipment replacement. What this will do is allow them to replace equipment at an earlier rate than they would otherwise be able to do. We view that as a pay me now or pay me later proposition. It will probably avoid future costs, and in a roundabout way produce savings if you go for that $3.8 million. And then the balance, plug all of that into road surface, asphalt patching and asphalt overlays is the term that we use, and that means something to the highway division.
This can be done by the department itself.
It could be, or it could be contracted. There's some statutory limitation on the extent of the work that they can do in-house. But I suspect that they're going to do it in the most efficient way that they can do it.
I don't think we changed those guidelines there already, how it can be done. Isn't that right?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, our expectation would be that we would do some blade patching with that with our maintenance crews, and also then the rest would be contracted overlay.
Okay, so the budget, the total expenditure of your budget would equal $801.8 million. And then into the ending balance, there's some adjustments there. The agency has indicated that they need about $20 million for an operating reserve. And then salary adjustments, based on the most recent expectation, would cost an additional $11.5 million, and that would be budgeted. The governor's budget did not include that specifically for that purpose. And finally, bond repayment reserve. The bonds come due early in 1983, is that right?
November
of 84. And what the highway controller wants to do is to keep those in reserve in the event that the
local governments involved with the Rocky Butte Jail elect not to repay that back immediately. They do have the option of stringing those payments out over a period of time. If that occurs, they will need the $15 million to retire that debt.
In Rocky Butte, the department has to buy that for right away or what?
Yes. That was part of the overall agreement with the relocation.
Have they paid the right away, or for the right away yet? Have we paid for the right away?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, Rocky Butte Jail is in the way of I-205.
Yes, I know.
And we have to, the burden of supplying a replacement for that, which is the Justice Center downtown Portland. So we're embarked on doing that Justice Center, and as in addition to our own obligations to replace the jail facility, the local jurisdictions want additions to that building to serve their own pace purposes. We finance it, they reimburse us, that's interest.
That's getting a little plainer now.
How long could that go out?
The repayment?
Yeah.
Fern Scoog could probably explain that a little better than I can, but as I understand it, they've got a couple of options. They can elect to repay the note immediately, which would, I suspect,